Last year, I was visiting the monastery of Archangel Michael in Cañones, New Mexico, and the abbot, Father Silouan, at one of the meals, the gatherings that we had after the service, the liturgy, the brotherhood was gathered, and they call this a synaxis, so like a gathering of the community. And so the brothers were there, and the guests, there was a small group of us priests who were gathered together. And Father Silouan started asking us about the cardinal virtues, and I had Peter with me, and he said, "I'm going to test how well Father Daniel is teaching about the cardinal virtues. Peter, can you name the four cardinal virtues?" Never told him anything about the cardinal virtues, so of course he couldn't name them. I couldn't even pull them all up. I was like, And so he gave us priests a hard time. He said you should be. All your people should know what the cardinal virtues are. You should preach about them in all of your sermons. So I vowed to say something about the four cardinal virtues, and I haven't really used them in my Sunday sermons so far. But this was part of the inspiration for doing this series on the virtues. So this evening I want to talk about the four cardinal virtues. And they are justice, courage, what else?
Wisdom
or prudence, and temperance. Okay, so these are the four cardinal virtues. First of all, why are they called cardinal? What does cardinal mean? What do you know?
Foundational.
Yeah, like foundational, fundamental. Like we have four cardinal directions, right? North, south, east, west. They're the main directions. And then you can talk about like northeast and different variations. But the fundamental ones are the cardinal ones. That's what the word simply means. So of chief importance, we could say. So the ancient Greek philosophers spoke about these four cardinal virtues. For example, Plato speaks about them in the Republic. Plato defines virtue as a healthy or beautiful state of the soul. And he defines vice as a diseased state of the soul. And this is pretty close to our Christian idea of virtue and vice. We could accept that definition. We would just add to it that virtue means to be Christ-like, and that Christ is the one who's the fullness of all the virtues. We find virtue in him, and the incarnation of Christ makes it possible for us to participate in his fullness of virtue. But Plato lists these four cardinal virtues as wisdom, justice, courage, and temperance. And the first one, wisdom, appears in other sources as prudence. These are different words in Greek. Wisdom is sophia, and prudence is phronesis. So we also find these four virtues listed in Scripture. Do you know that? It's not in everybody's Bible, but it's in our Bible, in the Wisdom of Solomon. This is the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7. "And if anyone loves righteousness, her labors are virtues, for she teaches self-control and prudence, justice, and courage." Self-control is temperance. So wisdom, or righteousness, teaches the virtues, self-control, prudence, justice, and courage. Nothing in life is more profitable for mortals than these. So it's scriptural. And the Holy Fathers pick up on this theme of the four cardinal virtues. For example, St. John of Damascus, who writes this, and I'm going to quote, I didn't print this out for you, but I'm going to just read a paragraph from his work on the virtues and the vices, which includes his mention of the four cardinal virtues. "Man is a twofold being comprising soul and body, and has two orders of senses and two corresponding orders of virtues. The soul has five senses, and the body has five senses," he says. "The senses of the soul, which are also called the faculties, are intellect or nous, mind, reason, opinion, fantasy, which is imagination. That's the Greek word fantasia, which is how the fathers speak of imagination, the imaginative faculty, and sense perception. The senses of the body are sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. The virtues which belong to these senses are twofold, and so too are the vices. Everyone should know how many virtues there are of the soul and how many of the body, and what kind of passions belong to the soul and what kind to the body. The virtues which we ascribe to the soul are primarily the four cardinal virtues: courage, moral judgment, which is how prudence is being translated here, self-restraint, which is temperance, and justice. These give birth to the other virtues of the soul: faith, hope, love, prayer, humility, gentleness, long-suffering, forbearance, kindness, freedom from anger, knowledge of God, cheerfulness, simplicity, calmness, sincerity, freedom from vanity, freedom from pride, absence of envy, honesty, freedom from avarice, compassion, mercifulness, generosity, fearlessness, freedom from dejection, deep compunction, modesty, reverence, desire for the blessings held in store, longing for the kingdom of God, and aspiration for divine sonship. So that's a list of virtues, still not exhaustive, but it's a fuller list of virtues. And this whole text by St. John of Damascus on the virtues and the vices is very good and very interesting and not very long. So you could read the whole thing and not very long, but we'll come back to it later. But here I want to note that he says that the cardinal virtues in the soul, these ones that we're speaking of, temperance, justice, prudence, and self-control, courage or fortitude, these four cardinal virtues, he says, give birth to all the other virtues, including faith, hope, love, and prayer, and humility. So, we need to work on these four cardinal virtues. So let's take a brief look at each of them and what they mean. And I'm going to follow St. John's order here. We could say a whole lot more about each of these virtues, but I just want to at least introduce each one, and then we'll explore them more later. But the first one that St. John lists is courage. In Greek, or courage or fortitude is the other way that this is usually translated. In Greek, the word is andria, which comes from the word for a man, andros, and it literally means manliness. So the word for courage or fortitude is literally manliness in Greek. And to get a sense of the importance of this virtue of courage, we can take a cue from the book of Revelation. Have you all ever noticed this before? In Revelation 21, verse 8, chapter 21, verse 8, we get a list of those who have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. I've heard of fire and brimstone before. This is where it comes from. So these are the people, those are listed here who will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And this list includes murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, etc. But do you know what the first thing is on the list? Does anybody know? Cowards. The cowardly, number one. The cowardly. So in other words, those who lack this virtue of courage or fortitude. So this, we could say that this virtue is necessary for our salvation. Now, I want to mention, I mentioned Plato, I'll also mention Aristotle. Aristotle has this work called the Nicomachean Ethics. And in this book, he presents virtue and vice as being like, well, he presents virtue as being the mean or the center between two extremes. So in the case of courage, it's the mean between cowardice and foolhardiness. But I don't think this is quite right. I mean, there's something to be said for that. But really, virtue is the right functioning of the faculties of the soul, and vice is the wrong functioning. So you could also say that, you know, here's the virtue, and both of the extremes are down here at the bottom, because they're both a broken soul, right? So whether it's cowardice or whether it's just foolhardiness, either way, it's not functioning properly. But anyway, I think what's important for us is, because maybe we look at ourselves and we say that we lack courage. We don't see ourselves as being very courageous. We don't see ourselves, we see ourselves as lacking this fortitude. So what can we do about that? How can we grow in courage? And really, I think we need to say, and this is true of all of the virtues, but it's true in a particular way, I think, when it comes to courage. It's made possible by repentance. It's made possible by repentance. It's an expression of repentance. When we repent deeply, we find ourselves in a humbled state. And in this state, we trust God. And we're ready for whatever He sends us. So then we're ready to say, okay, Lord, whatever You want to allow to happen in my life, whether it's You send me difficulties, whether You send me blessings, whatever it is, this is the attitude of somebody who's repenting, right? A humble trust in God. And so this is really what inspires courage in us. Courage doesn't mean that, you know, there's nothing daunting for us. It doesn't, again, it's not foolhardiness. It's not just sort of never having to face fear. That's not what it is. It means that when something is fearful for us, something is daunting, something is scary, we're nevertheless willing to face it. We're willing to say, okay, Lord, I trust You. I know You're going to get me through this. And then we face it, whatever it is. So, like I said, we'll come back to all of these, but so much for now for courage. The second of the cardinal virtues in St. John's list is prudence. And this is what is translated in that translation that I read as moral judgment. It also corresponds to, in some lists of the virtues, including Plato's, to Sophia or wisdom. But it's not exactly the same thing. A lot of times, Sophia is translated just as wisdom, and prudence is translated as practical wisdom. It's like, you know, being wise in practical situations. How do you apply wisdom concretely in your life? So the word in Greek is phronesis. And we could say that this means the right use of the mind and the reasoning faculty. So again, it's that faculty of the soul being rightly ordered, the mind, the nous, and the reason. And so this can also be translated as discernment, and it comes through prayer, and it comes through giving our attention to Christ. And so our mind and our reason, when we give our attention to Christ continually in our life, they become rightly ordered. This is why the Holy Fathers say we have to practice prayer if we're going to become wise, if our mind is going to function the way it's supposed to. So if we want our mind and our reason to be rightly ordered and not chaotic and not captivated by every thought that comes from the enemy, then this is what we have to cultivate, this prudence, this phronesis. This is necessary for an ordered, focused spiritual life. And then the result is that we have the discernment to know what needs to be done in each situation that we face. So it's practical wisdom that's cultivated through prayer and attentiveness to God. The third of the cardinal virtues in St. John's list is temperance or self-restraint. Now, the Greek word here is sophrosyne, and this is oftentimes translated as chastity. This is the word that we have in the prayer of Saint Ephrem that we say during Lent, when we ask God to give us chastity, a spirit of chastity. So, but the literal translation of this word, of Sophrosyne would be sound-mindedness. Sound-mindedness. We could also say something like wholeness or integrity. So it includes the idea of sexual integrity, which is what we associate with the word chastity, but it's broader than that. It's not only that. It's general integrity in our life. So it would include the qualities of moderation, self-control, sobriety, and even discretion along with chastity. So I think what happened in the West was you have the Latin word temperantia, which corresponds to our English word temperance. And I think the Latin word was understood initially more broadly, but I think there was a development in later Latin Christianity where temperantia becomes to be it comes to be opposed to gluttony. And then there's a separate word, castitas, or chastity, which is opposed to lust. So there's like this separation of these concepts. And so, I mean, if we say temperance in English, what do you think of?
Not drinking.
That's the first definition if you look it up in a dictionary in English, is that. Like sobriety when it comes to alcohol, you know? Not drinking, temperance. And then maybe people think in terms of something like avoiding gluttony, self-control, or moderation. And that's part of it, but what I'm saying here is it's actually a much bigger concept, and it's a bigger, the virtue is something more encompassing, this idea of sound-mindedness or wholeness, integrity as a person. So I want to emphasize that sort of broadness of this virtue, because a lot of times when we hear the word temperance, we're thinking of something maybe more narrow. And this sophrosyne, this virtue, is the rightly ordered state of the appetitive faculty of the soul, the desiring faculty, right? That we desire things, so it's bridling that faculty so that we have a right relationship to everything in this world. And then the fourth of the cardinal virtues is, of course, justice. And this really is, you know, would require a longer discussion, as all of these really do, but the basic idea here is that it's a harmonious state of the soul as a whole, and a harmonious relationship of the soul to the world around it. And this idea already exists with the ancient philosophers, the Greek philosophers. But something that I want to point out is that the word in Greek is dikaiosyne, which can also be translated as righteousness. So actually justice and righteousness in Greek are really one. It's really one concept. I think in English we think of those differently, don't we? I mean, do you think like a just person is the same thing as a righteous person? I mean, the New Testament uses this word, but it's often translated differently. Like, God justifies us. What does that mean when God justifies us? It means he makes us righteous. That's what it means, right? It doesn't mean anything else. But I think we sort of have separated these into two different concepts. And it isn't that there aren't different emphases that we can give here. There are sort of subsumed under this concept of dikaiosyne. You can sort of emphasize the two, but we have to include both ideas. So again, it's broader than just, I think, what we sometimes think of justice. It's not just fairness, okay? Justice in this deeper sense, it's not just being fair, sort of fair and square, you know, following the rules or something like that. Now, it certainly means being rightly ordered, but it's having this idea of having a harmonious state inside of us and being in harmony with the world around us. With our soul is in harmony so that we're in harmony with God and we're in harmony with other people. That's what this means. And so we could say it's the state of the saints. So it's not some kind of earthly juridical notion of justice, but rather it's the state of the soul in which everything is working in the way that it's supposed to, and we have a right relationship with God and a right relationship with those around us. So I'd like to end for this evening with a brief account from the prologue of the life of Saint Martinian. And I actually shared his life, if you'll remember, a couple of months ago, not thinking that a later session would actually fall on his feast day. So we celebrated the Vespers for Saint Martinian this evening, so I think it's appropriate to end with this. But I'll just point out at this point that his life really, we see all four cardinal virtues fulfilled. Let me read it, and then we'll just say something brief about the virtues in his life. So the life of this saint is wonderful beyond measure and is worth reading in full. And when I shared it before, I gave a fuller version of it. But this is just a summary of it. What did he not endure to fulfill the law of God? At the age of 18, he went off into a mountain in Cappadocia called the Ark, and there spent 25 years in fasting, vigils, and prayer, and struggled with manifold temptations. When a woman came to tempt him, and he saw that he would fall into sin with her, he leapt barefoot into the fire and stood in it until the pain brought forth tears from his eyes, and he had killed all lust within himself. When other temptations arose, he fled to a lonely rock in the sea and lived there. When, though, in a shipwreck, a woman swam to the rock, he leapt into the sea intending to drown himself. But a dolphin took him upon its back and brought him by God's providence to the shore. He then decided to make nowhere his permanent home, but to travel incessantly. Thus he passed through 164 towns in 2 years, exhorting and advising the people. He finally arrived in Athens, where he died in 422. And also commemorated are Saints Zoe and Fotinia, who were the two women that are mentioned in his life, and were inspired to live holy lives by Saint Martinian, and so they're also commemorated as saints together with him. So where do we see the virtues in this life? What do we see that's an expression of these cardinal virtues?
Temperance
or self-control?
Appetite.
Yeah, so he had to wrestle with lust. And so, yes, we see him wrestling, but vanquishing that temptation, right? By exercising temperance, self-control. And how does he do this?
Jumping into the fire.
Isn't that courage? Isn't that manliness? Yes, absolutely. So we see especially these two. But I think we could also say he shows prudence by recognizing there's nothing else that's going to save him, right? In both of these cases, when he jumps into the fire and when he dives into the sea, it's just he has a practical wisdom to see there's no way for me to be saved except by taking this extreme action. And so he embraces it. And of course, this is how he works out his salvation and how he exercises that righteousness or justice in his life. And this, when we have that right relationship with God and with other people, it leads other people to holiness. And that's what we see, is these women are saved through his actions. So that's real justice. He's like God, exercising justice, exercising righteousness, and bringing other people to righteousness. So it's a beautiful example. I think one of the most wonderful, inspiring examples of this kind of manly courage in facing temptation and overcoming it. So through Saint Martinian's prayers, may the Lord establish our souls in these four virtues and have mercy on us.